Geben dir diese Versammlung.
Lord, we give you this meeting, especially this fellowship. Sanctify, cleanse, and anoint each one of us. How much we need your anointing and your leading in this entire time. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Despite all the limitations that we have, despite the coronavirus, quarantine, all of us are in quarantine now. And still, the Word of God is not bound. It's not limited. His Word is still running swiftly. And is reaching even many people across the globe. I also thank the Lord for this possibility, this technical possibility. I've been home these last few weeks, but I have had fellowship with saints across the entire earth. It's a wonderful experience. Really, a wonderful experience. So praise the Lord that in this time we can still have our conference. It is wonderful. To every point in time, he has prepared a practical way for us that we can continue to have fellowship also in this time. It's really so wonderful. We really have to trust that it's arranged by the Lord, that in these times we have this option, this possibility. It's outstanding. That despite everything, we can still have this fellowship. Amen. Praise Amen. The Lord. I'm just going to give a brief introduction tonight. We, as all the brothers, will carry the burden together in this conference. And we pray and intercede for all the brothers. We have to recognize what God's burden is. God progresses with his work, but his work is limited by us, or limited to us, because his work concerns each one of us. And if we as his people are not ready, then he cannot do anything. He also has to wait. So 4 or 5 years ago, the Lord finally brought us into the matter of the priesthood, the true worship, the offerings, the spiritual offerings that we can bring to the Father, and to keep the feasts. Before, we had fellowship about this, but it didn't really break through because we were not ready at that time. But praise the Lord. In 2014, the Lord released this burden, and it really penetrated, not for all the saints, but for the remnant. And we also saw that the enemy really resisted this word and attacked this word and wanted to hinder it. But God does not let his work be hindered. He always has a remnant who is ready to go on with him. And this is what we also want to do. We want to continually follow the Lamb until the goal, until we reach the goal and never stand still anywhere until we reach the goal. As Paul said in Philippians 3, not that I have already attained, but he is reaching forward to the things which are before. If you're in a competition or you're a race, you can't stop. If you stop, then it's the end of the race for you. And you will not gain the prize. So when you're in a race, please continue to run. I'm encouraging each one of you to continue to run and not to just stop along the way because you're tired.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, in diesem Wettlauf wollen wir gemeinsam zum Ziel kommen.
So, we want to all reach the goal together in this race. Do pray that all the saints would reach the goal. Still, we cannot force anyone to run this race, but we can encourage one another. Praise the Lord. This matter concerning the priesthood is very precious because from the very beginning, as we see in Exodus 19, God desires a kingdom of priests. He doesn't just want a kingdom, he wants a kingdom of priests. We have to recognize this. We have to know what he has purposed. He wants a holy nation. He doesn't want just a people. He wants a holy people. Why? It's very easy to understand. It's because God himself is holy. How can a holy God not have a holy people? It's impossible. If we're people who have a kingdom, but our kingdom is full of dogs, and only the king is a human being, that just doesn't exist. That means his people have to correspond to him. God is holy. He's a holy God. He alone is holy. And that's why he wants to have a holy people. And that's why he separated, called out the children of Israel from the world, from Egypt, so that he would gain a holy nation, a holy people. If he doesn't want to have a holy people and just people that are just people regardless of what condition they're in, then he wouldn't have had to call Israel his people. He wouldn't have had to call them out, the ones that came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wouldn't have had to call them out and separate them for himself. So as the children of Israel were conformed to the nations around them and adjusted to them and did even more than the nations did, they even did better than them, so to say, better than the nations. What did God do when the children of Israel did this? He destroyed them. He gave them up.
In die Gefangenschaft hineingeführt.
And he led them into captivity. But still, he didn't want to fully give up on them. But he wanted to gain them back. And even with the earthly people, the nation of Israel, there was only a remnant that remained.
sich angepasst.
And they again acclimated to those around them and became worse than many in the nations.
So, am Ende sehen wir zwei Drittel,
so at the end, we see that 2/3 of the people were destroyed and 1/3 had to be refined through fire. As Zechariah said, and as Malachi also says in chapter 3, God has to refine his people through fire, as fire and as gold and silver are refined in the fire. This is the whole history of the children of Israel. And we have to really lay hold of this and grasp this and understand this. And in the new covenant, it's the same way. He wants to have a holy people, holy nation. I don't know how Paul knew this, but he describes in a wonderful way that from the foundation of the world, he chose us so that we can be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Some say that this in love should be part of the next verse, but both are okay. He also in love predestined us to sonship, or that we should be without blame before him in love and holy with before him in love. Both ways of translating the verse are good. If you don't love him, you also don't concern yourself with becoming holy and becoming without blame. Because without holiness, no one can see the Lord. So if you don't care about seeing him and it's whatever for you, then okay. Then God cannot force you either. But if we love him, Paul also says we love his appearing. And if we love him, and if we love his appearing, and we want to stand before him and behold him, as 1 John 3 says, we will see him as he is. And today we can see him with the inner eyes of our heart, as Paul prayed, that the eyes of your hearts being enlightened would be enlightened. And that's why also before the foundation of the world, it's powerful to see this, that he chose us before the foundation of the world, not to be kings to rule with him. No, what did he say? To be holy and without blame. Because without being holy and without being without blame, we are disqualified. We cannot do anything, and God can also not do anything with us. Fallen man has to really be thrown into the lake of fire. This was God's purpose even before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine that? And if we see this, then we recognize how important it is to be holy. Holy means to be without blame. If you look at yourself, you'll see how many spots and how much you're still full of blemish. In these last few years that we have, we should do our best to pursue holiness, to pursue peace and holiness. It's not like, all right, if I want to, then yeah, I'll exercise and try to be holy. But if I'm tired, then I'll find a good excuse. And, you know, I'm just weak. I can't make it. That's not an excuse. Why? Because you are saved. You have been born again. The Holy Spirit is in you. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And our inward man is being renewed day by day. He is able to save us to the uttermost. And God is faithful. And he wants to sanctify us completely according to body, soul, and spirit. So what excuse do we really have? It's actually just our laziness. Is there no medicine for laziness? Can you go to the doctor and the doctor asks you, what do you need? What kind of sickness do you have? And you say, laziness. The doctor will send you out of his office. If you're lazy, why are you here in my doctor's office? There's no physical medicine for laziness. He also told the servants, you lazy, evil servant. So, if you're lazy, then there is also, one can have the suspicion that you're also evil, wicked. So pursue holiness. This word pursue is a strong word. That means almost to persecute. It's a similar meaning to persecute. You hunt after something. They never stop. When they were persecuting the Jews, they didn't stop. They hunted them day and night. This is this word to pursue, to hunt. It's like persecuting something. That means you don't stop pursuing to be holy. So this holiness is very important. Without holiness, what can we do? God is holy. And I am unholy. So what can I do? So as the Lord came to this earth, even before he was born,
dieser Heilige, der in dir ist, Maria.
Even said to Mary that the one who is in you is from the Holy Spirit. And he is the Holy One, because God alone is the Holy One. And he is without blame. And that's why Paul said, and even confirmed it in Ephesians 5. What kind of church does he want? A capable church? A church with a large number of people? Thank the Lord that there's no minimum number of saints for you to be the church that he desires. He never says in the word, you have to have 500 people and then you're the church. Do you see a minimum number of saints as a prerequisite or to be the church? The Lord even said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, and you're one with him and with the Father and with one another, then whatever you pray, my Father will answer. Two or three is enough for him. Also, in the house of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, the Lord didn't say, they're just three of them, I don't want to visit them. Also, when they were just three people, the Lord will be there.
Amen.
But not three unholy, lazy people. Among them, he will not be in their midst. He wants to have a church that is holy and without blemish. Holy and without blemish. Amen. Without blemish. Yeah, without blemish. And he repeated this also in Colossians. Paul said that the Lord wants such saints, holy and without blemish. And that's why Paul also worked very diligently, not to become a theologian, but he wanted to reach perfection. He also wanted to be fully holy and fully blameless, without blemish. This is very, very important. This point concerning holiness is very important. If we come to Peter, why did Peter use the word holy to describe the priesthood? Because this is a prerequisite, an important prerequisite for the priests. If the priest is unholy, how can he serve in a holy place? Can you imagine? And if you don't pay attention to his word and serve according to his way, and if you serve instead like Nadab and Abihu, then you will be carried out of the holy place. You run so quickly into the temple, but you will then be carried out. Oh Lord, this is a warning. And not to mention, those who were not priests, they weren't even allowed to enter into the tabernacle. No one dared just walk in. And at the time of the Old Covenant, the high priest could only go in once a year into the Holy of Holies. Of course, he could go into the holy place more than once a year, but the Holy of Holies he was only able to enter once a year. But God lives in the most holy place. So that means there are levels of holiness. Our God is so holy that no one can actually see him or look upon him. Moses tried, he asked, can I see your face? And God said, no, no one can look at my face and live. Why? Because we're so unholy.
So when we're done, in the Heiligung, then
So if we are perfected in holiness, then we will see him as he is. That means we need to be perfected in body, soul, and spirit. Then we will see him as he is. This sanctification is important. Unfortunately, we've neglected this. We want to have a lot of knowledge. We want to be very active. We want to do so many things. We want to have a position. I don't even know what we want in this world. We still want to have so many things. We want so many things. But we just don't want to be holy. So everything that has to do with God has to be holy. And that's why the priests especially have to be holy. Peter surely read the word of God. I think an apostle who doesn't read the word of God is a false apostle, false prophet. But he knew that the Lord wanted a holy priesthood. He actually repeated what was in Exodus 19. And he already started in chapter 1. In verse 15, what does it say? Because he who has called us is holy, we have to be holy in all our conduct. 1 Peter 1:15. What's the reason? Why do we have to be holy? Or why do we have to even be holy? It's because he who called us is holy. Because he is holy, the prerequisite for us to serve as priests is that we have to be holy. If my boss is really clean, he's not just going to hire someone from the street to serve him. More, Clemens? Do you want to hire a cleaning lady who is dirty and who stinks? Surely not. But hey, it's cheap. Just 10 euros a month. But that's already too much. Because then she will bring all the filth from outside into your house. Including the coronavirus. That's why there's so much confusion among the believers today in so-called churches. Because everything that's worldly and filthy, that's fleshly, love of money, all of this we bring into his house. This is what God's people did. He said, "You have made my house to a house of merchandise." But a den of thieves, that's even worse than a house of merchandise. So what are we doing today with the church in the house of the Lord? His house is holy. It's the holy temple. It's the holy city, Jerusalem. But if you go to the earthly Jerusalem today, it's anything but holy. And what is it like with the heavenly Jerusalem? I thank the Lord that after you were freed, so to say, from the old, you used a new name, the Heavenly Jerusalem, for yourselves or for the website. The Heavenly City, the New Jerusalem. This is what the Lord has done. But we have to correspond to this in truth, in reality. So already in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he says that we have to be holy in all our conduct, in all aspects of our conduct, be it at home. I'm exercising to be holy even at home. Praise the Lord for this quarantine. Everything that concerns us has to be holy. My thoughts have to be holy. My emotions must be holy. My will must be holy. My body must be holy. Where I live, this place must also be holy. Everything has to be holy. And it is good to practice, to exercise in each aspect, in all areas of our conduct. Why? Because he said, you should be holy because I am holy. Where did Peter get this sentence? From Leviticus. That's where he got it from. This was the emphasis in Leviticus. I am your God. But what kind of God? I, your God, am holy. And that's why you have to be holy, because I am holy. This is what he said. From the first chapter of Leviticus, all the offerings are most holy. They are most holy. Some translations say it's very high in its level of holiness, but high is not high enough. It's the highest level of holiness. So if there's something that's very high in its level of holiness, he's even higher than that. So from the first chapter to the last chapter of Leviticus, all his laws we see are holy laws. All the statutes are very holy. The priesthood, Aaron and his sons, they also had to be sanctified and made holy. All the feasts of the Lord are also most holy. Don't think, oh yeah, we enjoy and we keep the feast. But we also have to have a consciousness and awareness that it is most holy. Everything is holy. And already in chapter 1, I actually just wanted to share very shortly. So let me know when the time is running out. You are all at home anyway, so. But still, I don't want to speak too long, so. Peter had such a view. That's why at the very beginning of 1 Peter, he said, you should be holy because I am holy. This is the word that was spoken to the priests in Leviticus. And that's why Peter says in chapter 2 of 1 Peter that the priesthood must be holy. It has to be a holy priesthood. And in verse 9, a It says we are a holy nation. That means the whole people had to be holy, but they didn't want to be holy, so what can you do? You can't do anything, but the Lord had a way to sanctify them and to make us holy. His way is through the 1,000 years of outer darkness. In this time, whether you want to or not, you don't have a choice. You will be sanctified. You will have to go through fire, and at the end, you will be holy. So today, it is better if we work together with Him and cooperate with Him and pursue holiness. So this holiness and the sanctification is very important. The scripture does not speak only about apostles, but about holy apostles and holy prophets. And in 2 Peter 1, he says, the Holy Spirit is speaking through holy men. Not just through anybody. Of course, he can speak through a donkey as well. I'm not sure if the donkey was holy, but it depends on what the Lord wants to say and to whom. But for the living Word of God, this has to be spoken through holy men of God. He's referring to 2 Peter 1:21. We have to be holy. It is so important, dear saints. He's full of grace and he's full of mercy. And before he comes back, he wants to give us this burden, not this burden that it's something heavy to carry, but he wants to share with us his burden concerning holiness. And he wants to put it in our hearts and has put it in our hearts so that we would still have time to be fully sanctified before he comes again. You must treasure this. You have to appreciate it. This is the grace of the Lord. It's not a topic. What is the topic of the conference? No. If this is a topic, then it's an eternal topic. It was before the foundation of the world already a topic. It was the topic for him. Yeah, it is really the grace and the mercy and the love that he has shown us. If we don't have this consciousness of being priests today, then it wouldn't be so necessary to even speak so much concerning holiness. But if we want to be priests, then it is absolutely necessary to talk about holiness. And that we would lay hold of it, we would exercise ourselves in this and be fully sanctified until the coming of the second coming of the Lord.
Die Worte habe ich gemeinsam mit euch, damit ihr dieses.
I want to have fellowship with all of you about this, so that we would have the consciousness and awareness of how important the holiness is, and that it would be in our hearts, and that we would really redeem the time to exercise ourselves in this. I'm not saying it's pressure. Luther said, Before I got saved, I had the burden of sin, and after I got saved, I have the burden of holiness. This is not what the word describes. Maybe that's Luther chapter 1, verse 1. but it's not in the word. Holiness is not a burden that we carry. It's healing. It's salvation. It's medicine. It makes us healthy, not just in our body, but it makes us spiritually healthy so we can see Him, so we can spend time with Him, so we can enter more into an intimate fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that we can enter into the most holy place, so that we would have this special food in this place, so that we would be qualified to eat this special food. It's not a burden to carry. I don't know where Luther got this idea. It was not a revelation from the Lord. It was a strange view. Father God. Cannot say, well, I'm not there yet. How many years have you been a Christian? Everyone knows that the church in Thessalonica, not sure how to pronounce it, was a young church. And so when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he emphasizes the sanctification a lot. You should read it. There are so many verses about the sanctification, that they should be holy and without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says in chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, what does it say? So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Amen. And verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Well, love is a prerequisite. Yeah, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. I cannot write such a verse. It's short, living, and to the point. We all have to learn this. I have already spoken too much. It's already too long. Oh, Father. This is so important. And at the end of this epistle, he also says that our vessels, our bodies, have to be preserved in holiness. Even the body has to be made holy. Because he has called us to holiness, to sanctification. That means our vessel, our body also has to be holy. Our vessel is important. And in the conference, you will also see this. The brothers will surely give a good word concerning this. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, that we know that the Lord is coming, what does our preparation look like?
Für Leute müsst ihr da sein, in heiligem
what
Wandel und göttlich
persons ought you to be? What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? The test will be not about how many verses you know by heart. That's not what we will be tested by. Or how many messages you gave. Well, he will not say, was your message good or bad? No. He will say, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? 2 Peter 3, 11 and 12. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? This is already very important. May the Lord really speak to us through this word. It is very important. Because when he comes and you are not holy, you will hide yourself. And because this summarizes everything that we need to do to prepare, because sanctification includes everything that we need to be made holy. How can we understand the Lord's word if we're not sanctified in our mind? Then we will have many strange thoughts. And in the church life, if we're not holy, it won't work. You've experienced this yourselves, because then we will do so much nonsense. And that we will believe so many crooked or perverse things. And then we will give strange testimonies. And then you won't even want to go to the meetings anymore because of that. And if we don't want to go to the meetings anymore, you think the Lord will want to be there? He's 10,000 times more sensitive than we are. So praise the Lord. At the end it says, the holy city, Jerusalem. It is so wonderful. The holy city, Jerusalem. At the beginning of Revelation, we see how unholy the churches became and have become. They were fallen. Instead of becoming more and more holy, they became more and more worldly. And at the end, Jezebel was even ruling there. And death, and lukewarmness, worldliness. They had left their first love. And all these things entered into the church. Today, now, God wants a holy temple. Of course, in the spiritual sense, it is not a physical temple. It's not like a nice meeting hall, like in Plinian. But it is a spiritual house. Praise the Lord. And a holy priesthood. And we are bringing spiritual sacrifices, not animal sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ, because he is the reality of all of the offerings. And that's why we have to lay hold of even more and get into it more deeply to understand what these offerings mean for us, to see how rich they are. Yeah. Amen. that we can bring these to the Father at the feast, during the feast festal gathering. Praise the Lord, dear saints. If we grasp this and lay hold of this, Amen. Then praise the Lord. And the rest I will give to the saints. Romans 8:14, we have to walk in the Spirit. This is how we can be holy. To walk in the Spirit is very important.
Die von Gottes Geist geleitet sind.
We have to be led by the Spirit. If I am not strengthened in my inner man, and we only speak about Spirit, 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 it's what we had spoken about for the last 40 years, even the last 50 years, time flies, we emphasize the Spirit. But we are not just spirit. The angels are spirits. They are ministering spirits. But we are not just spirits or spirit, but we have our soul and we also have our bodies. And as Galatians says, there's always this war between the flesh and the spirit so that you don't do what you want. And to just emphasize the spirit and to say, I have a wonderful spirit, but I have a very fleshly body, then I have a problem. Then I have a problem to really walk in the spirit.
Was der einzige Weg ist, weiß ich nicht. Aber der Herr
I don't know if fasting and praying is the only way, but may the Lord lead us. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Because God is the one who works in you both to will and to do for your good pleasure. So we need to learn to cooperate with Him. So we cannot just leave everything to God to do. So we also, through the Spirit, we have to put to death the deeds of the body. If I don't work together with Him and don't cooperate with Him, and I don't pay attention to my conduct, to be holy in my conduct and just say, Spirit, 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 that won't work. If my mind is not transformed, is not renewed, then there will be no transformation. If I don't let my heart be dealt with and let my emotions and my love be dealt with. And if I love so many things in the world and my heart is still hanging on to so many things, then I can talk about the Spirit, 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 and it still won't work. If you're sick, then you're lying in bed and then you can't go to the meetings, right? So all three parts have to be made holy. That's why it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that He would Amen. Sanctify you completely. Amen. We need the body, the soul, and the spirit. If I only emphasize the spirit and I neglect the soul and my will and even give the excuse that my will is so weak. No, we should say we want our soul and our will to be saved. How can we resist the devil if our will is so weak? And we just say, our will is so weak, and we say, Lord, you do it. No, he says, you resist the devil. But I say, Lord, I cannot. You have to exercise your will until it is ready to cooperate with the Lord. The angels have no problem because they are just ministering spirits, but I'm not an angel, so I'm not just spirit. The Lord wants to reveal to us the mystery of godliness in the flesh, not in the spirit. That's why the Lord had to become man. As Hebrews said, as a man, he had to go through so many trials. Yes, he will help us, but I have to cooperate with him. I have to say yes. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews as well that we have to really hold on to our faith until the end. And we cannot say, I cannot hold fast to it. You have to hold fast to it for me.
Ja, aber weißt du, in den letzten
So, to walk in the Spirit, we also have to cooperate with Him. My will has to say, yes, I want to walk in the Spirit. Amen. And my mind has to be set on the Spirit. I cannot walk in the Spirit if my mind is totally somewhere else. My mind has to work together with Him. I cannot say that I want to walk in the Spirit, but then my mind is completely somewhere else. He has to renew my mind. But I also have to set my mind on the Spirit. It goes both ways. It's both sides. God did not create robots. He made us in such a wonderful way that we can cooperate with Him. That's why sometimes we have issues when we preach the gospel, because they say, no, I don't want it. Even if He would send thunder and lightning, they would say, no, that's a coincidence. Man is a wonderful being, and that's why God will not force any one of us. Even Adam and Eve had to make a decision. They had to make decisions. They had to choose what they wanted. And today, even if we are born again, there are still so many problems among the Christians because they are born again in the Spirit, but how come it doesn't work? It's one unit. One part of us will influence the other part. The flesh will influence my soul and also the spirit, the soul. That's why Paul says that praise strengthen us in our inner man. Because if we're not strengthened in our inner man, then it also won't work. So these three parts of our being are very important because all sanctification applies to all three parts of man.
John, du bist auf mute.
Ich kann ihn nicht einschalten. Warum?
Oh, okay.
Jetzt wieder. Jetzt hören wir dich.
Sorry, he was on mute for a second. So the tabernacle is also built with three parts, just as man is made with body, with soul, and spirit. That's why the Bible is written in a certain sense, it's written in a complex way. In the Bible, it doesn't just say walk in the Spirit, period. No, there are a lot of problems that are related to this. Praise the Lord. Let's have fellowship via Zoom. You see? Praise the Lord. It's really outstanding. It's better than if we would be sitting in a meeting hall all together. Everyone is free to ask and speak and can have fellowship and ask questions. This is wonderful. It is very good. So, how late is it? It's 9 p.m. in Germany, so it's punctual.
Okay, lobe den Herrn.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord preserve all of you. May He really strengthen you and that you would take time for prayer, to exercise yourself, to pursue holiness. May you have much fellowship and get into the Word. Praise the Lord. See you tomorrow then. Praise the Lord.
Klar über die Last der Heiligung, ja.
Amen.
Are you clear concerning the burden of holiness? Amen. Okay, amen. Lord, we praise you.
Amen.
We give you these days of fellowship concerning sanctification. We want to pursue you.
Yes.
Save us from our laziness.
Right.
Lord, we don't want to be lazy anymore. We want to be diligent.
Yeah.
We pray that in these days we would enter into the Word concerning holiness and pursue holiness.
Yes.
Lord, we want to be holy, not just in our spirit, but in our soul and also in our body.
Amen.
Lord, you're coming back so soon, and we want to be such people who are holy in our conduct and are godly.
That's right.
Our desire is to be sanctified thoroughly as your priesthood.
Amen.
Lord, we give you these days.
Yes.
Lord, bring us into the reality.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we want to be completely sanctified in body, soul, and spirit. Thank you, Lord, you're faithful. You also will do it.
Amen.
But we also want to cooperate with you.
Yes.
Thank you that we can cooperate with you. What a privilege. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are such a wonderful God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bless all the saints in these days and preserve all of us healthy in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.